In recounting Parshas Bamidbar, we find a fascinating idea, which is Shevet Yehuda, which represent Malchus, is at the forefront. They are the ones that are leading the charge. They are the ones that are given the task to be the face, if you will, of the Shekhinah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu leading Klal Yisrael into the desert. And most notably, that's also the way that we describe that Malchus based David comes directly from Yehuda. Yehuda is also the Shevet of the Ari that has on the Degel. And the question is, what does this represent? How is this relevant to me? And what can I do for my life? Let's say I don't come from Shevet Yehuda. I had a personal friend that he was able to trace his lineage all the way back, and they knew without a doubt that they were from Shevet Yisachar. So is that not relevant to him? Or people who, let's say, come from Mishpacha Salevi, that they're Kehanim or Levim. What about them? How is this relevant that Malchus Yehuda is at the forefront? What does that represent for me? So before we give an answer to that, we'd like to actually tie in to a number of ideas that actually are expressed in the upcoming holiday, the Yom Tov of Shavuos. And I'd like to share with you a number of questions that I think are very relevant, they're very poignant, and most importantly, they're good questions too, and I think you'll derive a great benefit from the questions as well. The first one is, we all know Chazal tell us that because Al Shalei Baruch Hu Batar Techila, that since Klal Yisrael did not make the Baruch Hu Berchas HaTorah immediately, whatever that means, either in the morning or before they actually learned, but the point was they showed an ichashivus, they showed a slight honor to the Torah, and as a result of that, that's why they went into Galus. So the question is, what does one thing have to do with the other? If you tell me, like the Bayis Sheni over there, we understand why, because there it's a din in Sinas Chinam, and there's no Bein Adam L'Chaveiro between other people. So then we understand if there is a problem there, that Hashem sees Klal Yisrael can get along, so we'll take you out of the land that is bringing you all together as one. You don't deserve to be in a land that's binding you as one if you can't get along with one another. That makes sense. But Shalei Baruch Hu Batar Techila, that could be at any place, anytime, anywhere. That has nothing to do with Beis HaMikdash, Eretz Yisrael. What is the seeming connection between the two? And why is Berachas HaTorah such an important bracha that Klal Yisrael went to Galus for that? If anything, the Mida Keneged Mida should be that they forget their Torah. You don't give a bracha on Torah, so Torah doesn't want to give a bracha to you. Mida Keneged Mida. You are not Machshemi. Im Tazveni Yom, you're my Mezocha. You're going to leave me for one day, I'll leave you for two. Like the Chazon Ish used to tell people. There was a very famous story that somebody came to him and told him that his whole life he ran away from COVID, and nothing came to him, and he was very perturbed by that because he knew the Chazal that said that if a person runs away from COVID, COVID runs away from this person. And he said the same thing also over here. If I'm running away from COVID, COVID should run away from me too. And the Chazon Ish said, your problem is that you're running away from COVID and you're looking over your shoulder. And COVID sees that and runs even double the distance. So it's the same thing as well. In Tazveni Yom, Yomai Mezavcha, you are gone for one day. It's really like you left two. So says the Chazon Ish, it's because you literally distance yourself one day, and the Torah also distances itself one day. Kemayim panim al panim, you're like looking behind your shoulder, and as if you're looking askance, that you don't have any relationship with the Torah. Torah also is 2 days of a distance away from you. So that should be the punishment. Not that the Klal Yisrael should lose the Beis HaMikdash. What does the Beis HaMikdash have to do with Berachas HaTorah? The second question is a fascinating Chazal that tell us, when Klal Yisrael were Higdimu Nasa L'Nishma, they said Nasa before Nishma, the Malachi Asharis came down from Shemayim and they put Shtei Ksarim, 2 crowns on everyone's head, one for Nasa, one for Nishma. Interestingly, if you look at old European Sefer Torah in Ashkenazi communities, you'll find that the Keser that was on top of the Sefer Torah, it's almost always a gigantic large crown, and on top of that is a small little crown. Why isn't it just one gigantic crown? The answer they say is because they're mimicking what was given to us at Har Sinai, one gigantic crown with another small crown on top. That's the 2 ksarim, these 2 crowns, Nasa Agami Nishma. The same thing as well. The question is, what does that mean? What does that mean that they had a crown? Again, Mida Keneged Mida, it should be. If they said with their mouth, Nasa Kedem L'Nishma, so Hashem should bless Klal Yisrael's mouths, that their mouths should now be able to give a tremendous bracha or whatever it may be, just with the kayach of their dibur. Why is it that they got crowns as a reward? The crown has something seemingly no significance whatsoever. And then when they did the Chada Egel, Hashem took that away. The Chada Egel had nothing to do with crowns. What are we talking about here? Why are the crowns such an important seminal moment in Kabbalah Satorah that Hashem felt the need to bring down these crowns, specifically at Kabbalah Satorah? Furthermore, we know The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the Torah, Klal Yisrael was willing to accept Torah Shebichsav. But when it came to Torah Shebapeh, they weren't so interested. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Kafalim HaKigigis. He picked up the mountain like a barrel, and he says, "Im tekamlas atayra mutav. If you accept the Torah, great. Vim lav shum take rasam. If not, there shall be your death place. There, what's there? It should be right here. The answer is there. From mokum of tzayov v'vayu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and Klal Yisrael would refuse to say yes, then Hashem said, hover double mafreya. Comes out that retroactively, I now know the entire bria sa'ilam is for naught, and therefore I would." You deserve to be buried back then when I created the world, because the world has no tachlis, has no purpose, if there is no Torah. So the question is, what is Hashem doing? Why is he saying, if you don't accept the Torah now, I'm going to kill you? Whoa, one second. We said Nasa L'Nishma, so you want to say it's in Torah Shebichsav. That already showed you 50% we were in. So that already showed us good faith on our part. How could it be that Hashem is saying, if you don't accept the Torah right now, the Torah Shebal Peh, it's not going to work out. What do you mean it's not going to work out? Why shouldn't it work out? Why is it that Hashem has to flip up the mountain upside down and hang it over our heads, and there's an immediate death sentence? What is going on over here? We know when it comes to the last Rashi in the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu is thanked by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yashakarcha Sheshibarta. Hashem thanks Moshe Rabbeinu because Rashi is perturbed by why it says in the end, La'enei kol b'nei Yisrael, in front of the eyes of all Klal Yisrael. What do you mean, in front of the eyes of all Klal Yisrael? What's that supposed to mean? So it says, Rashi says, that because something that was in front of the eyes of all Klal Yisrael, and what was that? That was the breaking of the Luchos. And Hashem said, Moshe, you did that on your own volition. I didn't tell you to do that. You understood that Klal Yisrael can't live in connaissance with both having the Torah and Alfei Avdolos to have an eagle with you at the same time concurrently. That's not going to work out for you. So he had to either break it or it slipped out of his hands, whatever it is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, thank you for doing that. Now the question is, why? Why can Moshe Rabbeinu come down, talk to them, see maybe there's a cheshbon? Aaron HaKohen did kind of sanction it. There was somewhat of a maso matin with the people there. It wasn't like they just decided. And if you want to say something, if anything, it wasn't like it popped out a chazir or a gummel or a neves or a shafan, like these things that are half, quote-unquote, kosher. These are things, this is an eagle. Eagle is a kosher species. So you could hear why people would think that they're a little bit confused why exactly there's anything wrong with this. Like, why should we even get a punishment? And it happened immediately. Why is Hashem doing all this stuff immediately? And there's another question. We find that Chazal tells us a very interesting idea, which is that one of the reasons that we have a minhag to eat milchigs on Shavuos Day is because we all know there's different reasons given, but one answer that's given is because since Klal Yisrael didn't have enough time to implement all the hilchos, shechita, melicha, and all the different things that have to do, well, let's say it's taruvos, you have, now it's basar v'chalav, now what do? There's so many intricate halachas that are negiah specifically to making kosher meat. And Klal Yisrael was hungry, they wanted to celebrate with a suda, and because they need to celebrate the suda immediately, they can only do it via milchigs. When is that ever a reason that because you need to do something immediately, that forces us to now have a minhag in Klal Yisrael because of that? What does that even mean? We have to do it immediately? Why do we have to do it immediately? So we'll wait a few days, just like we waited. We should have 3 days afterwards too. What's going on over here? Why is it specifically, when it comes to a milk meal, that we have to do it immediately? So I believe that all these answers potentially give an answer to the first answer that we said before. We know that Yehuda represents Malchus. Now, what is a Melech? A Melech is someone who jumps to the forefront without asking any questions. They take achrayus and they're like a lion. They jump up and they do what's needed to be done immediately. Now you're going to ask me, how do I know immediately? I'll prove to you. It's the first Siman Shulchan Aruch. Shteit Yiskaber Ka'ari Lamed Baboiker. You should get up like an Ari. What do you mean like an Ari? If anything, if you're trying to illustrate, a person should be very fast. You should use a Tzvi, Yiskaber Ketzvi, or Yiskala, a person should be Yehokel, a person should be as light as a Nesher. Why is it Yiskaber Kari? What does it mean, the Gvura Sari? You have to show the Gvura of that. The answer they say is because the Ari represents immediate implementation of something that needs to be done right away, and it gets done, and it gets done effectively. From the Melech of all the Chayas. And that's the same thing as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically chose Shevet Yehuda because they represent Malchus, which represents immediacy and represents the idea of doing whatever it is that they do. They do it with an amazing accuracy and it needs to be done very well. And that's Shevet Yehuda. So it's the same thing also over here. Yehuda represents this idea of the face of the Shekhinah, Malchus Beis David, Malchus Yehuda, representing this idea of going, bringing the Shekhinah, bringing Klal Yisrael along, because they represent this idea as well, the face of the Ari also. It shows you this idea that immediacy is very much valued in the Torah for whatever a person needs to do. It's very well known, the Chazon Ish used to tell people that when you sometimes see zrizus, immediacy in something, alacrity towards something, you think that when a person's running, it's running. But not always is this running. And the Chazon Ish used to give a mashal for that. He would say, for example, if you see somebody running to a couch, although the action looks like he's running, and that's zrizus, but since the peliyotze, the result is to relax, so it comes out that his entire essence of running was not running. It was actually in order to sleep. So it means it's not really zrizus, it's actually atzlus, it's laziness. What you see from here is that a person has to use immediacy for a dvar mitzvah. When you hear of an opportunity, grab it. You should make it that it's done, it's finished, and it's done to the nth degree to be excellent at whatever it is a person does. And we're thinking that could be the same thing also as well. When it comes to Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Shnei Ksarim. Excuse me, going back to Berachas HaTorah, excuse me. So Berachas HaTorah, the question was, what's the Midah Kenegan Midah? They didn't give, they didn't do Berachas HaTorah, so what? The answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, the one thing that could have immediate effect on all of Klal Yisrael is when you learn Torah. And you need to learn Torah right. Now, how do you learn Torah right? You either learn or you don't. The answer is when you make a bracha on it. When you make a bracha on it, that shows that already you're in a different frame of mind, you're a different mindset. I know that this is something I have to take quite seriously. I don't want to say a bracha levatala. It's one of the Aser Satibris, Lesis Hashem Hashav. I know it's a very serious matter. And as a result of that, I'm going to take very great care to make sure that the learning I'm doing is a real learning. It's a learning of quality and quantity. It's something that's going to be something I'm proud of. If I don't make a bracha, that means A, I don't want to do it immediately. B, I don't think it'll affect me immediately. And C, the showing of the complete bizayon on that shows that I don't believe in its protective measure for everyone around me. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you don't believe Torah is the nuclear energy that gets things going for all of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael to do what it is that they need to do, being at the highest level, then you don't deserve to be there. That's the idea, because you unfortunately have taken something that could have been your most potent weapon, your most powerful weapon, and you push it off to the side. I have a friend of mine who went to Nachal Haredi for a number of years, and he told me on his own, he said to me, you should just know, I saw open miracles numerous times, and the only explanation behind how these miracles happen, that all of our enemies who we're surrounded by are trying to eliminate us, and they're trying to exterminate us and trying to push us off into the Mediterranean Sea. He says the only reason why it's never happened is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want it to happen. He wants to make sure that the Jewish people remain and nothing bad will happen to his children. And he said he saw that so many times, and he believes, and that's what Gedolim have been saying for the longest time. The only reason why these things don't happen is because Hashem doesn't allow them to happen. Why doesn't he allow them to happen? The answer is very simple. We have a Torah. So if a person understands that Torah protects and gives immediate protection, a person ultimately will make the brachos immediately, and they'll understand it has an immediate effect as well. And that could be as well when we talk about the idea of the Shtei Ksarim, these two crowns. What does it mean, the two crowns? So we want to say, we all know that a person has what's called a Shir Kaima. He has a certain height that he reaches, and that's about it. To go extend beyond that, that's very rare for that to happen. It almost never happens. But there is one thing that will extend your length, and that is if you wear something on top of your head. A crown is an extension that happens on top of your head where it makes an immediate impact that you already are taller. Not only are you already taller, if you're wearing a double crown, you're even more taller. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you said, Nasa L'Nishma, you already said this idea that you accepted immediately to accept my Torah. I'm going to show you and give you a physical element where your Shir Kaima, your actual height, is actually going to immediately be raised by wearing these two ksarim, wearing these two crowns. Now, what does that mean with the Egel Azov? Egel Azov, Klal Yisrael thought that they needed to do that. They needed to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kav Yachol, down. Hashem says, you don't need to bring yourself down for me to come to you. You have to raise yourself up. And when you raise yourself up, I will meet you there and I will give you your Shtei Ksarim. And it will happen immediately. If a person understands that, that it'll happen immediately, when they up their game, literally and figuratively, Hashem will up it as well and make their body extend to unbelievable heights that the person never imagined they could do, just by that extra push. And we were thinking as well, Kafaleim HaKagigas, Hashem lifting up Har Sinai, what was that showing? Hashem was saying, if you don't accept the Torah now, that is immediate death. It's not even a question of a moment. It is right now. You have to view it as the mountain is being suspended midair, and the only thing that's preventing it from literally dropping on top of us and crushing us is Hashem. And a person has to view it like that. Right now, I am keeping up the world. Problem is, we don't think like that. We think, okay, what's the big deal? But unfortunately, what's very well known, the Chofetz Chaim used to say, is that our emunah gets weaker and weaker in each generation. So Hashem has to show us via technology that all the things that we talk about in Chazal literally has to be chushes. It has to be that you could touch it and feel it. So one of the things that you can tell people very well, and they understand that very, very poignantly, is if you tell a person, you press a button and you make sure that something happens, that will allow it to happen right now. But if you tell people that doesn't happen right now, doesn't happen right now, but pressing something will make something happen immediately. That's what Torah is as well. It's a button that gets pressed in Shemayim to have immediate results for right now. And that could be why it's Kafaleim HaKagigas, to show it's immediate as well. And that's what we're thinking. That's the last Rashi as well. Yashikarcha Shishibat, Hashem says, you could have waited, but says the Abishur, when it comes to Torah, there's no waiting. It has to happen miyad. It has to be something that happens instantaneous. It has to be immediate. And therefore, if it's immediate, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, that's what I want done. Yashikarcha Shishibata showed us that when it's like Ene B'nai Yisrael, that Torah immediately cannot mix together with an eagle. It's not even a nidun. Do we go back and forth and handles? It's something that we talk about. It's not even on the table. It happens immediate. And that's what Hashem said. Yashikarcha Shishibata, you taught this valuable lesson of it happening right away. The immediacy tells us this idea also. And we were thinking that could especially be by the question of why we have milchiks at this specific juncture. Why do we have that? Because Kal Yisrael, it was very difficult for them to know what it was ready, who was ready, who was not ready. And we asked the question, what does that have to do with anything? Just because they're not ready? The answer is, now that you're mekabel the Torah, we want to see immediate results. Once a person is mekabel immediately, Hashem does the rest. It's very well known that Reb Chaim Bisker used to say a story about a Talmud of his, that this person became a massive Talmud Chacham. And he said a story that one time he was at a party or some event or something, and somebody asked him a question, and he said it was the Taisus in a certain place. One person said, excuse me, Mechila, but you don't know what you're talking about. It's the Taisus in a different place. No, it is. And the story goes, as he got up, opened up the Gemara, and he saw the other person was right. He was so embarrassed. He was so humiliated. He ran up to the Eitzer and locked the door. And for the next 3 years, people had to slip food in through the crack, and he would put the empty tray out, and someone would take that. And obviously they had a bathroom in there or something, but he learned for 3 years straight. After that, he became an unbelievable guy. Says Reb Chaim Brisker, aber, but, was wird sein mit der Bracha Achreina? What happened with the Bracha Achreina? What happened with his last Bracha? He forgot to make a Bracha Achreina. Sagt Reb Chaim Brisker, had this guy made a Bracha Achreina, he would have lost it all. The momentum that he would have had at that moment would have dissipated, and he would never have been the guy because he didn't act on that. Now, you're going to say, what about the Bracha Achreina? Okay, that's a good point. That's a good, very good point. However, the fact is, when it comes to Torah, it needs to be immediate. And what we see from here is, things need to be immediate. They have to happen right away. If they don't happen right away, then we say, ultimately, it's something that is not something that we can do, and it's not something that we'd be able to do on a normal basis as well. I have no idea. It probably glitched and turned off. Okay. It was supposed to stay on the whole time?
Yeah, it's definitely supposed to stay on. I haven't used that app in a long time because of that. No, it's still going. 20 minutes.